Hey, hey, everyone, this is Dan, the GM, bringing you episode 154 of What the Dice. Now, we are almost done with season one, and it is amazing. We are currently recording the last bits of the episodes so that I can edit them and get them out to you, and we have so much planned for season two. I can't wait to get to it. But that is future plans. Today is now, and now I get to tell you that we got a Discord, we got a Patreon, we've got all that and much, much more. You can find those links and more over at our Twitter, at WhatTheDicePod. I hope to see you join us there, and I can't wait to meet you on the Discord. So I'm going to shut up and let you get on with this week's episode. Enjoy, my friends. Enjoy. There's a storm rolling in from the waterline. As we walk slowly up beach line, our bags full of just miscellaneous treasures we have acquired in our last mission. The Adventurers Guild sent us out to some strange, awoken sea temple. We took a small ship out there. Nothing too challenging. Stories to tell and loot to sell. As we stop, we look at the fork in the road. One heading up to the town. The other towards the storyteller's campsite. We smile, shift our weight, and make our way up to the storyteller's campsite. In the campsite, the storyteller is standing, stoking the flames, and looking up at us with a smile. His eyes are tired. And he looks out towards the ocean with a chuckle.
Well, 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 me friends. It seems as if the storms are slowly gathering in the horizon. It seems as if something has upset the natural order of everything. Well, about the adventurers and the tale we continue to tell. Seems as if the adventurers have made their way to the Rat Kingdom after meeting a Lich and Everest, dealing with them, and then meeting up with Kazimar. They find themselves in the manor of not just Kazimar, but the old home of the adventurers that lived through the Day of Blood. Heroes that are legendary. Heroes with something to hide. Well, me friends, it is time for us to return to the tale and hear and see what the adventurers have learned. Sit back, relax, and hear me tell.
In the last episode, the adventurers have found a dark truth about Everest, the necromancer Kazimar, and their long-left partner, Leoris. Finding information not through just journals, but through a strange record-keeping scrying mirror that was owned by Everest, they got a chance to see what Everest looked like, as well as the Lich, before they turned. The last thing they saw was Leoris telling Everest they all made their binding contracts before walking out. It seems as if these adventurers have a dark history and a dark secret they hide. We come back as they have entered Kazimar's room, a Victorian Gothic style decoration with books and scrying mirrors and
art depicting death as an embrace of a lover. And in the center of the room, a pedestal with a black bordered envelope underneath glass. Who wants to start us out?
Well, Kalila's not touching the thing under glass, but she does lean in to look at it better since you said it was wax sealed. She's not going to open it.
Well, it has already been, the wax seal has already been broken.
Oh, okay. She'll still lean down, look at it, be quiet for a moment. Her ears are going to twitch a little bit. And then she's going to look over at DeFabius going, should we read it?
Well, I'm kind of concerned that the Fae haven't even touched it.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Let's not, I guess. This isn't his personal room. And we're really only here to get rid of the crystals in the Fae.
I mean, I'm going to ask questions when I see him all again. But I don't know enough about magic to know that... I know enough to know that I don't probably want to touch that because it's probably woogied with all kinds of weird magic.
She's going to look at it with a detect magic just to see.
It is a mundane letter.
What about on the glass? Any enchants on, like...
Nope, it is all mundane. This whole room, besides the equipment that is used for creating scrying mirrors, everything is fairly mundane.
Actually, there's no magic on it, or the pedestal, or the glass, or anything dealing with it. Unless you left fingerprints, no one would know you ever touched it. She goes, but it does feel weird prying into somebody's personal business when you know that they're still alive.
Well, I mean, technically, if he's a vampire, he's not really alive, is he?
Still existing?
There we go.
Okay, still around.
But I have some serious... I'm not going to go prying into that letter, but I have some serious questions on what these guys did. Because, definite pattern.
She goes, well, I mean, it kind of showed that the one started looking into the necromantic reasons to protect his friends. Because when Everest got hurt, the orc... Oryk. Started looking into it because his friend almost died. So he was doing that for protecting his friend. The one became a cleric. And if you remember in the conversation, he didn't want to lose his buddy, so he kind of zombified him and gave him eternal life so he didn't lose his best friend. So that kind of... How he turned into a lich, though, that's a really good question.
Well, I don't know anything about how liches happen, so you're on your own there.
And how this guy became a vampire, or why he became a vampire, that's yet to be answered. So, still, yeah, no, there's a lot of questions.
But still, there's definitely a bone god influence with one of them, and then... the others all start turning dead?
Yeah, and the bone god tends to like, dealing with the undead. I mean, bone god kind of makes sense.
I mean, he is weird because, I mean, he does, like, follow flowers, though, too.
Yeah. Okay, next room?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no crystals and no fae in here, and nothing seems destroyed. Kalila's not going to dig through somebody's personal biz who's still around. Undead, unalive, whatever, or not.
Well, not only that, the fae haven't even touched that room.
Yeah.
This next room that you enter into is an office. It looks like, based on the way it's laid out, it is a room for three people, one behind a large desk, the other two kind of sharing a desk. You see maps that have been burned to near destruction. The wood on it has been scarred and stabbed. You see little bits of spearheads that are left. The painting on the wall of Kazimar the Lich and Everest, as well as Sylvan, have been shredded to where Sylvan's, the only thing on Sylvan that you can see is his shoes.
Are the other ones untouched, or are all of them shredded?
No, just the image of what would be Liaris has been shredded.
Kalila.
Hmm?
Didn't the lich guy say, take that mirror and look at, if you wanted to scry into it more, into rooms that they all hung out in? Wasn't this one of them?
He said that the crystals were in areas that they all hung out in, but I can go back in the room, go grab it, and see if it shows us anything in here.
Yeah, let's do that.
We'll run back, grab the mirror, and come back.
Okay. So, what are you going to focus on to get the mirror to react?
Well, last time she focused on the person. This time she's going to focus in on the location in this room while thinking about the group.
Roll magic device.
I do have that. 12.
Focusing in on the mirror, it begins to become ripply. The silver, super reflective silver, becomes like a pool of water. And then you're able to see the room. You're peering through it like it is a window. And you slowly pan where the two chairs are. You see the lich. His flesh is starting to slightly decay, and you see Everest and him are having a discussion over some maps. When you look over past the mirror, not looking through it, it is the map that is destroyed. And it is the main continent, the one that the Holy City is on. And they are writing down notes and trying to figure something out. You pan over and you see Kazimar. There is a pale woman with red hair wearing a solid black gown. She's sitting on the edge of the desk, and you can see her fangs as she is talking. Kazimar's neck has got two small pinholes in it that you can see. And they're all looking at different maps. The woman is shaking her head and is saying something, but it's not coming through clearly. What would you like to try to do?
Where are they pointing at the maps?
As you get close and you kind of stand at the edge of the table and you look down, you are seeing an old version of the main continent. You can see that they have little X's on the Rat Kingdom area, where the Holy City is, where Kalila's village is, X over Narrow Cloud, an X over Hold's Keep. There's some circles in some mountain areas, as well as some elven cities. At this point, you're able to kind of hear through the glass Everest. His voice is a little closer to what you remember. He wouldn't have gone there. He's elven. Elves and orcs have been feuding for centuries. Why? Why do you think he would go there? Orok just kind of shrugs. He goes,
"The bones said so. I cast bones and it said orc."
Everest just kind of shakes his head and he's like, "The orcs would kill Liaris on sight. We killed a war chief. That would be suicide." And the conversation kind of continues of they're arguing, not arguing, but discussing back and forth where Liaris would have gone to hide.
Interesting. So I thought Liaris went to go be king somewhere and now he's in hiding?
That or they're trying to figure out where he went to be king. And the elven region is down there. Yes, there's a mountain range, and there's a lot of orcs in that mountain range. But if you go past it, that's elven territory.
Yeah, but the elves have their own hierarchy, so they're not just going to let some random elf dude walk in and go, "Hey, I'm the new king," and be like, "Okay."
You're not wrong about that. That is right.
I mean, think how stuck up they were on the airship.
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, if we could have gotten away with it, I could have we could have probably thrown most of the elves overboard on the Murdoch and probably had a safer and happier trip.
Pretty sure the dwarves would have saluted to that.
Are you kidding? I think they would have helped.
She goes, but it seems like they're in the same argument as I. Why would they go there? But if Oryk was getting into necromancy and he said the bones, they use bones to scry, right? And it's their own weird magic woogies. The bones wouldn't lie to him. I mean, that would be like us trying to use a mirror or an orb or what have you, like we are now, lying to us. Why would the mirror lie to us? He would have no reason why he would doubt his bones.
And I mean, if I was hiding from people, I would, and I was like super powerful potentially and had, I guess, a god backing me, like the bone god, I could see him strolling back to the orcs and be like, I'm in charge here. I killed your war chief. I'm in charge.
And if they were mountainous orcs, black orcs, and it's the same orcs that they know they that go, well, it could have been they, you know, the hero, those were the heroes that kicked those orcs' butts. Why not come back and go bow a knee to me? I kicked your butts once, I can do it again. And look, oh, the wife you killed is now back. It's kind of intimidating.
More questions to ask.
Indeed. She goes, well, maybe I can scry on this thing and see if we can get any as to how or why he became a vampire.
Well, I'm guessing it has to do with that lady sitting on the desk on the table with him.
Yeah, I can make that assumption too. Lover? Where is she now?
Not a clue.
Alright, well, do we want to dig into the past or go put the mirror away and clear the last room?
I mean, we can... It's a really tough question.
Because there's not a guarantee that we're going to get access to this mirror of scrying again.
You can always keep it and take it back to the orc.
Yeah, but it was Everest.
Or we can always take it back to Everest.
Why would we do that? They probably will come back to the mansion now that it's clean.
Well, I get the feeling that Everest and the Lich Guy live in that cave anyway.
I mean, his office is there. But yeah, I mean, why? I don't know.
That, and also I feel weird leaving the mirror lying around since it's a record at this point of what's happened.
And it should be protected.
Yep.
All right, well, we'll stuff it in the bag of holding and return it to him when we get there.
Yay, logic.
Can I get a perception check?
From both of us?
Are you both looking at the mirror?
Yes.
Yes.
Then yes.
26.
38.
Defibulous, as you and Kalila are discussing keeping the mirror, what to do with it, you notice that the woman that is sitting on the desk is still talking, but you notice that her eyes are on where you are.
Kalila.
Hmm.
Take a look at the gal sitting on the desk. She's still talking, but she's staring right at us.
Indeed she is. Do you think she knows that we're scrying through this mirror?
I was always under the impression, well, this is a past event. I can understand something current having a feeling that something's watching it, but how is something in the past knowing that we're watching it in the future?
Okay, you got me stumped there. She's just gonna wave and see if she blinks or does anything.
She raises an eyebrow.
Clella's gonna tilt her head with one ear up and one ear back, like, okay, I'm confused.
Did she just acknowledge that you waved at her?
Yeah, I think she did.
Fibulus will raise a hand. Hi.
As you wave hi, you could see her stand. She leans over, says something to Kazimar, and walks towards the hallway where you're at. You see her pass by, and she almost, as she passes the mirror, kind of gives you that finger of follow me.
Kalila will follow.
She walks into the living room and sits on one of the large couches. Crossing her legs gently, she waits for you to join her, giving a hand signal to sit across from her on the other couch.
She will, but still holding up the mirror and looking between her, like looking at the empty couch and then the mirror and then the empty couch and then the mirror.
This is not the weirdest thing we've done yet.
No, it isn't.
As you sit down, she sets out a mirror and pulls out a small vial of blood and pours it down on the mirror. She looks at you and goes, I'm not sure whom you are, but as the lich has the ability to scry with bones, I have the ability to scry with blood.
Yeah, everybody has their way. How did you know we were using the mirror and watching you?
She waits for a moment and taps the mirror. And then you see words start to appear. And she nods and she goes, scrying can work in multiple ways. I know someone will eventually come looking for Liaris' past. And I know Everest has this mirror. So I don't know whom you are. I cannot see who you are or the group that is sitting in front of me. I can find the echoes of your questions using blood scrying.
I'm still kind of weirded out that someone in the past knows that we're scrying in the future, though.
She seems to wait for a moment, and the blood seems to coalesce into a center and then spreads out. And she goes, reads it for a moment. She nods, and she goes, yes, this is interesting. I had to speak to the Father of Shadows to get this ability. But I'm sure you are trying to find Liaris.
Yeah.
Kinda. And also clean out the house from corrupt fae and weird evil crystal thingies.
She looks at the mirror as it starts to spell out the words. She cocks her head to the side. She goes, fae shouldn't enter this home. But nonetheless, Liaris has run to the main continent. I and the Neck and the Lich believe that he has found a way to build an alignment with the orcs and a small group of elves. I believe them to be drow and fallen elves, ones that have decided to worship some forgotten god that is blasphemous at best.
Does this god use a black rose?
She's watching the mirror, and the blood again pools up and then spells out the words again. She goes, I believe so, but I'm not sure. I've never actually seen the ring in person. It is described as a circular flower with multiple petals. I'm no herbologist. I am, at best, a blood mage. I prefer the term a vampiric sorceress, but everyone has their own name for me.
Jeffrey will look over Kalila. So, should we ask her about why everyone's turning undead around here, or just leave that lie?
You realize now that you spoke that aloud, it's just going to read that to her, right?
I did after I said it.
Okay.
She's watching the mirror and it spells out and she goes, I may actually have this answer. It seems as if on the Day of Blood, in order for this orc to be defeated, they had to give up a piece of them, and each of them gave up a piece of their life force. Between the four of them, they were able to cast some spell. And in the process, they summoned four deities of shadow. And they were told that they were bound by a contract of torture. And that they all had to find a way to end their mortal coil that did not require a blade.
So one was a necromantic god. You said all of gods of shadow. Who did the cleric, Everest, pick? Obviously, Kazimar went vampire.
Well, it's not that simple. They were told by these shadowy creatures that they had to end their mortal coil. But they all felt like they were going to try to outwit this creature of shadow, or creatures of shadow. The Lich, of course, had already started his path down necromancy and was a very skilled one at that. Has found a way to become a Lich. Once he became a Lich, he offered Everest a soul-bound contract to exist as long as he exists. But it would mean that his flesh would not rejuvenate. Kazimar found me.
By coincidence? Long-term friend? Become lover?
She gives a smile, and she kind of gives a light shrug. Kazimar was a skilled man. He was a wonderful protector until the occult hunt happened. I sent him away to hide here with the rat folk as I led away the hunters. He is a friend, a lover, and my protege. This was one of the last times I ever spoke to him.
How do you know that?
She looks down at the mirror and kind of opens her hand to the blood. Part of this scrying is you learn your death date the first time you use it. And mine is slowly approaching, and I am currently being hunted by a cult. So I am assuming...
So you know you're going to die.
Right. And I am assuming by their hand. But how I die, I don't know. I just know that my death date is slowly encroaching.
I wonder if that's what the letter's about then.
Do you know anything about a black bordered envelope letter?
Yes. I wrote that to him a few hours ago and told him not to open it until after my death date passes. He doesn't know it is my death date. He just knows that the letter is important and it needs to be opened after a certain date.
We hadn't opened it, actually. We didn't know what it was.
It should have already been opened by the time this...
It was, but he's still around, so respect for... Anyways.
So, I have a weird question, besides all this being weird. But, so, Corrupted Fae invaded the manor, drove Kazimar out. We're here to get the Fae out, destroy their weird crystals. But the Fae are, like, currently on a warpath deleting the Oris from everything. Burning his journals, tearing up his pictures.
Removing his name from everything.
Yeah, like deleting him from history.
She reads over the blood and looks at approximately where the mirror is. And she kind of shakes her head and thinks slow. And just, if you are smart enough to use the scrying mirror or lucky enough to have figured it out, I would have to say, because things that are written are temporary, and these heroes have gone at great length to try to rewrite the popular history, they don't believe that that day should be celebrated. Maybe this was a way, maybe Leoris is trying to remove his past, trying to be forgotten. Maybe there's a weakness that he sees in his past. It's hard to say. I don't know whom or what you are, but I assume you would understand that a tale will change. A written document may not. Maybe trying to remove his existence from everyone's memory. Maybe trying to remove his own. It's hard to say.
Phoebus kind of furrows his brows, thinking, well, if it is him trying to delete his own history, why not just burn the entire place down and be done with it? That would have been so much easier. Or an explosion.
Or an explosion. Or it could be that he can't get here, so he... You know, you got a really good point. If you really just wanted to delete everything, just explosion or fire.
She's staring at the mirror as it's clearly translating everything you are saying to blood to her. She just looks and just kind of chuckles. Destroying the entire manor would risk starting bringing heroes out of retirement. The rat folk here are protective of their woods. If this manor were to ignite into flames, it would destroy much of the village, or much of the forest, which would then possibly trigger retaliation.
She brings up a good point, especially given everything that we have learned in their role here now. So why bring attention?
Then there's also the point of Kazimar was a blade mage. Precision was his greatest asset.
Personality trait, flaw.
Right. So maybe, based on what I have heard of him, maybe this is his way of just removing just him. Heroes are needed to make heroes. Heroes are needed to make villains. And villains are needed to keep the balance.
Okay, I like this vampire.
She smiles and she goes, if I was around, I would thank you. But seeing I don't know whom you are, I appreciate it nonetheless.
I mean, not that it really matters, but my name's Kalila, and I'm a black cat folk.
Defibulous gnome.
She nods and she goes, I am Persephone. I hail from a small region where there are lizard folks aplenty. We have a few cat folk in the area, and they're wonderful hunters and fishers. And the only handful of gnomes I've ever come across was a strange old man with a passion for breaking open tombs and trying to find information that way.
Sounds like my great uncle.
It does.
He had a strange curved piece of metal.
Yep, that was my uncle.
Crowbar.
Yep.
He was skilled at what he did. A nuisance. He broke into many of my homes thinking they were tombs, but he was pretty good about apologizing once he realized he had broken into somebody's home by accident.
I was going to say, you don't know where he ended up going, did you?
He chartered a boat the last I spoke to him, which honestly was only a few days ago. Chartered it from the Ratfolk village, a single one-man boat, and he said he was off to seek his treasure. And that was the last I spoke of him.
Sounds about right. Never leave a place where you're going. My uncle is a pain.
Her attention turns to the hallway, and she goes, well, Kazimar is summoning me. I do hope you find what you are searching for, and I do hope you are able to help Kazimar.
We have, and we are. And he's still kicking.
She nods as she raises her hand to create the blood into a small ball of liquid and funnels it back into the small container it contained. She corks it. Looking at the mirror, she smiles and she goes, tell him I miss him. and that I am sorry I had to leave before teaching him all I could. She stands, but he is calling me, and we do have some information about Leoris' last location. At least they think they do.
We're going to go listen to that now.
And she just walks off.
Well, since it's information that they're curious about too, she's going to go and finish listening to the conversation to give clues as to where Leoris might be.
As you walk in there, you see Kazimar, Auroch, and Everest, and they are all arguing. They have narrowed it down to a mountain range and a elven island. They talk about they've reached out and they found out that he sold the winery for 10 times what it was worth and was able to change maps, change roads, and make it to where this elven kingdom is nestled somewhere safe, to where without knowing its exact location, no one can get there. Everest has the idea of you have to cut through the volcanic orcs. The Auroch goes, no, it has to be by sea. Kazimar's like, well, best way is to make it to where you can only get there by air. The argument continues to circle as about a small lower section of the main map has been circled, and they're trying to figure out the exact location.
The Fibulus will try to quickly sketch that little corner of the map and then compare it to a larger map later.
Okay, I'll go ahead and give that to you. You've been staring at it long enough, you kind of get that. After a while, the mirror kind of starts to warble and fade away.
All right, well, that was useful. I still think we should probably, given how powerful this thing is and that it can talk to people in the past, definitely give it back to Everest.
Or would it, if she was scrying, then we scried that. Wouldn't if she was scrying things, have picked it up in the past that we were gonna, wait a minute. Does that mean we've done this before?
Yeah, let's not think about that. That just gives me a headache.
I'm confused.
So am I.
I need to blow something up.
Well, let's clear the last room and maybe you'll luck out and there's something for you to blast.
Sounds like a plan.
To the last room.
And then food?
Yeah, I'm getting hungry.
The last room. As you push it open, there's this sickly mist in the air. This library has books that are now floating and spinning around. There's a larger crystal that is branched out, almost touching the roof. You can see pages of different journals just slowly ashing as it continues to pulse this eerie energy around.
So, I guess we need to find the weak point and let it have it.
Taking aim.
Yeah, Defibrius will scan this crystal, see if you can find a good weak spot on it.
You know what? Go ahead and roll a d20 and add your level.
Ooh, that's new.
Yeah, that's new.
I figure that would be the only way to know if someone that is a gunslinger can figure out what they're doing.
Hey, weak point in crystal? I mean, I have nature, but other than that, or geography.
Well, you're a hunter, so I will give you the same thing, because
okay.
It's the idea of you have hunt and or shot enough to where you understand where possible weak points are.
So 19 on die with a 35, or it's 34 with my level.
Okay.
Am I adding level or?
Your level.
Okay. 17.
What did you roll on dice?
I did roll a two.
Okay, Kalila has absolutely no clue what she's doing.
Nope, she's just holding and waiting for Defibulus to point it out to her.
Defibulus, you are studying this crystal, and you notice where there is light refracting oddly. It looks like there's a weak point, a point where the crystal has split near the base. It looks like a well-placed shot would sever it from the floor and send it toppling over.
Into us or just into the wall?
Into the wall.
Kalila.
Yep.
You see that refracting spot there?
I do now.
Yeah, we want to shoot there.
And flat.
Yeah, he'll fire at the same time she fires.
Roll to hit.
Total of 38.
37.
The crystal cracks and splinters and then eventually shatters, sending books flying. And I need a reflex check from everyone.
Defibus is going to stand there in awe at the crystal he just shot over.
I rolled a 27, so Kalila's probably just going, books! And ducking.
What? I'm too busy staring at the crystal I just knocked over.
Does she have enough time to drag him to the ground with her?
Nope, because it's more than just books that get launched.
Uh-oh.
There are chairs and books and all manner of globes and crystals and all manner of things come flying out. Kalila, you take 8 points of damage as multiple sharp implements catch you. Defibulous, you take 18 as books that are bound in steel strike you, as crystal orbs shatter across your form, and this room starts to just go silent as the last book lands on the ground.
Ow.
Books hurt. Now I understand why Nicodemus throws them at everybody.
Ow.
She'll heal him.
Who puts books in steel binding?
Oh. That definitely sounds bad.
As you heal him, you get this shivering cold feeling as something whizzes past you down the hall, down the stairs, and you hear the front doors open and then slam shut.
So I healed you for 20 points of damage, by the way. And she is ears up, staring down the hallway, listening intently, like, what was that?
Defuse goes, what was what?
She goes, you were probably too busy saying ow, but what'd you say? Something whizzed past?
Something cold flew past you.
She goes, normally they say spirits emanate coldness, and something cold just flew past us and then slammed the main manor door downstairs.
We go take a look?
I'm going to heal you again before we do.
Yeah, he's almost... He's a lot better off now with what you healed.
Okay, I healed, like I said, I believe it was 20 points of damage.
Yeah, it puts me close to max. I should be all right.
Okay.
As you are healing him, you can start to feel the warmth start to return to the manor. You see candle sconces light up. Any candelabra, chandeliers are lighting up. You hear the soft strum of the piano downstairs echoing up the hall. And you start to see skeletons stepping out of strange areas behind paintings, behind picking themselves up or reassembling themselves as they begin to go about and clean. On their heads adorns a mithril circlet, and they pass by you, leaving you alone, and cleaning up. You see some of them picking up books and setting them back on the shelves and things of that manner. You count about 5 or 6 skeletons.
She'll pull out the key and go, hey, key.
Mm-hmm.
Did Kazmar have skeleton servants that cleaned his manor?
Ah, yes. They are a gift from Persephone.
Okay. Good to know.
There was some comment about how he would be lost without her and that she needed to make sure that he stayed organized.
Uh-huh. Did he ever have a piano just always playing?
Yes, one of the skeletons is a bard's skeleton that is trained to keep some kind of music playing so that Kazimar would not get lost in the shadow of silence.
Nod. Thanks, Key. She puts him back. She'll look up to Fabius going, I'm still suspicious. Either whatever was here that was causing all of the darkness, corruption, left very upsetly and slammed the door behind it, or there's something that's going to be at the bottom of the stairs waiting to attack us.
Well, I mean,
knowing our luck,
we haven't seen the fairy, that large fairy thing.
Yeah, the queen, large fairy. You're right. I don't know what happened to her, but there was the thing that you, like, exploded.
As you are discussing this, you start to hear the sounds of something hammering at glass.
At glass?
It sounds like it is coming from Kazimar's room.
Oh, let's go take a look at that.
All right. Cautiously peek her head around the corner.
As you look in, you can see a large fairy. And when I say large, I legitimately mean large. Its wings have this black, sickly ichor drip. Her eyes are hollow and full of rage as she is slamming her hands against the glass as it starts to slowly crack.
I guess she's impatient as she, well, cast grav bow before things start.
As you cast grav bow, the glass to the window shatters inward. And that is where we end this week's episode.
Well, 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 me friends. It seems as if the adventurers had a chance to talk to the past, learning a little bit about what happened to the adventurer party of Holdkeep. Seems as if they carry a curse that they have tried to turn into a blessing. Now, they have cleared the manor of all the corrupted crystals, but it seems as if the Fairy Queen has a bone to pick with the adventurers. Well, unfortunately, the moon is high, and it is time for us to say farewell. But until next time, me friends, may the dice gods bless your every roll.
We here at What the Dice would like to thank Paizo for creating Pathfinder, Epidemic Sound for our music, as well as Sirenscape for our sound effects. If you would like to reach out to us, you can do so on Facebook at What the Dice Pod, Twitter at What the Dice Pod, and of course email whatthedicepod@gmail.com. And if you liked our little adventure, please share us with your friends and rate and review us.